one of my pastors years ago asked in a sermon, what is the most consistent character quality of Jesus? And I'll give you a hint. Love is too easy of an answer. It's too general. What would you say? Something more specific than love. Compassion. Yes, compassion is, when you read the Gospels repeatedly, you see this thing coming out of Jesus, compassion. It's like he can't resist but be compassionate to people. A few days ago, God convicted me again, after many times of conviction. In my morning prayer time, he convicted me that I don't have enough compassion for people. Part of my life is based on things that happened to me before I was 16, that I don't really trust people. Seems to be a chronic thing in me. And without trust, you don't have as much compassion. You can still have some, but not as much. So this confession time involves me a lot. What are your strengths, your Christian strengths in yourself? What would you think of yourself? And what would you think of, what are, of all the things that God wants the church to do, what would you say the strengths of Providence are? Some of you have come here recently and you saw certain things in Providence that you just thought, well, that's something that I want in my church. And so you came here. And some of you have been here a long time and have formed what Providence is. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, which many times isn't often used as a confession type, but it convicts me of the need for a specific type of love, of compassion. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, that would be church gifts. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. And it goes on and says many things that happen in church, but if you don't have love, then they are nothing. And I've heard different people say recently that this Providence might be in a place now to grow. I would encourage us to love people in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable around us, like at work, in your family. It makes people feel uncomfortable because it's different. And people saw that in Jesus also. Let's pray. Father, this is a striking reminder in 1 Corinthians 13 about the priorities in life, that there's many things that are good, and there's some things that are necessary, one of them being love, if we want to be effective for you. Guide us in love that comes from you, not from selfishness, that we just love our friends, but also that we love our enemies. Lord, we confess that we are selfish by nature. We are selfish in our actions, in our families, in our reaction, in our thoughts as people talk. Guide us to be more like Christ, that if we see someone hurting, that we can't resist but have compassion and help that person in some way. Give us the mind of Christ. Forgive us of our sins. Amen. In our confession of faith, we'll be continuing in the shorter catechism of the Westminster Confession. We've come to that section of the catechism which talks about man's duties, and it's a lengthy section, as it ought to be. We're so one in our society to talk about our rights, we seldom talk about our duties. But you need to understand that a right cannot exist, and when you look at it from a legal standpoint, without everyone else having a corresponding duty. You have no right to life unless everyone has a recognized duty not to murder. Do you see that? Otherwise, your right to life is no right at all. You can't have a right to enjoy your property unless everyone else has a recognized duty not to steal. God defines his own rights and the rights of men by imposing duties on men. And that's what we're about to address here today. We started out our section on the duties of man the last time, where we learned that man's primary duty was obedience to God's revealed will. And God's revealed will was shown to us in God's moral law, which was summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments. And so we'll be continuing to explore that moral law in the Ten Commandments. I'll read the question again, and then you join me in the answer. What is the sum of the Ten Commandments? The sum of the Ten Commandments is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, the two great commandments encompass all the Ten Commandments. What is the preface to the Ten Commandments? The preface to the Ten Commandments is in these words: I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What does the preface to the Ten Commandments teach us? The preface to the Ten Commandments teaches us that because God is the Lord and our God and Redeemer, therefore we are bound to keep all his commandments. We'll continue with the first commandment next time.